This morning I want us to spend a little bit of time together as we get ready to go out into our community today. And what a wonderful opportunity that we have today to do something that I think all of us want to do, we know to do. It's something that we probably have grown up talking about doing, wanting to do more of. And today we just have an opportunity to actually go and to do it. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us to make a difference in the lives of some people today. There are going to be a lot of people who are around the city and in our community. And I just look forward to being able to celebrate what God is going to do today in our community. We're going to have more to say about it next week. We'll probably have some recap stuff for you to see. But I want us to spend some time this morning looking at this idea in Scripture of how do we set sail? How do we get our boat out of the harbor? How do we step out of this place and truly make a difference? Because one of the things that's interesting, at least for me in what I do, the more you talk to people, the more that you get to know people, the more that you find out about their story, everybody has something in their life that they wish that they could do or that they wish they could change. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's a vice. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's something new that they want to do. Everybody has something that they know that they should be doing or that they should change. But for whatever reason, we constantly find ourselves kind of stuck. There are churches out there that want to make a difference, that want to get out of their community and want to do things differently, but sometimes they just get stuck. So I want us to spend some time this morning looking at that idea of how do we get our ship out of the harbor. There's a sad commentary, a sad verse in the Old Testament. It's found in 1 Kings. If you want to read it, you can. If you want me to read it for you, I will. But in 1 Kings chapter 22, there's a king who has declared and decided to build these wonderful ships, but there's an awful sad verse. There was a king in Edom. This is verse 47 of 1 Kings chapter 22. There was a king in Edom. A deputy was king. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go into Ophir for gold. But they did not go. They did not go, for the ships were wrecked, like Ezion-Geber. The ships never actually left the harbor. Where the ships were destroyed right there in Ezion-Geber was the actual harbor where these ships were created. And it's such a sad commentary that you had this king who decides to build these ships and these ships to go and to be able to bring back this gold. And the sad testament is, after all this hard work and all this determination and all this planning had gone into effect, the ships never even were able to leave the harbor. In fact, they stayed in the harbor. Not only did they stay in the harbor, but they were destroyed in the harbor. If you remember from your reading earlier this morning when Brian read Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, there's always been a part of that verse that challenges me. And it's this idea of making the most of every single opportunity that is placed in front of us. Where we really truly seize the day and we seize the opportunity to allow God to work through us. Because none of us, I think, want to be like a ship that's made all these wonderful plans in our life. You know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to change this about ourselves, we're going to stop doing this, we're really, truly going to start living for the Lord, and we have all of these dreams and all these aspirations to be who it is that God has called us to be. But yet, just like these ships, we never truly set sail. We never leave this place of just always dreaming and aspiring to be different, to thinking about being different, to dreaming about being different. So how do we do this? How do we make the most of every single opportunity? How do we make the most of this time together as we worship this morning? How do we make the most of a day like today where we, as brothers and sisters, get to do something, where we get to step out of our own boat, where we get to set sail a little bit, if you will, and we get to take our ship out of the harbor, and we get to go out into this community and we begin to be able to allow God to use us so that we can be His hands and His feet today. So that there might be some child today who's never maybe had a hug before, and you have an opportunity to wrap your arm around a child and just to say, hey, I'm here for you. God loves you. Or maybe you have a child today who doesn't have the things that they need, just ordinary everyday needs, and we have an opportunity to impact them, to share with them. So how do we do this? Well, I want you to notice a couple of different things. The first thing that I want us to look at is in Galatians chapter 6, and that is this. We must stop excusing and accusing. We must stop accusing and excusing. There are three types of people in life. There are accusers, excusers, and choosers. I'm going to give you one more time so you can remember this. There are three types of people in life. There are accusers, excusers, and choosers. Accusers love to blame everything on everybody. They're not close enough to God, so they blame it on somebody else. Their career hasn't gone the way they want it to go, so they blame somebody else. Do you know how you spell blame? You spell it be lame. You'll get it in a minute. It's lame to be a blamer, to be an accuser, where you go through life just accusing everybody else for all your problems, especially spiritual problems. And this is the struggle. It's really, really hard. Now, there's also those people who are excusers, and they make excuses for everything. You know, well, if I hadn't have been in this situation, or if my job were different, if my family life were different, if everything else was different, then I could be a faithful follower of God. If I could just get rid of all of these bad influences in my life, then I could be the kind of child that God wants me to be. If I could just find time in my schedule, if my work life was not so hectic, I could find more time to be a parent. If. But I want you to notice the third type of person. And every single one of us in here are one of these three. There's also the person who makes the choice, a chooser. You see, here's the beautiful thing about us as human beings. We were created in the image of who? Let's say that again. We were created in the image of who? God. God created us in His own image, which means He gives us the freedom of choice. And every single one of us has the freedom to choose whether or not we're going to set sail from the harbor, whether or not we're going to make today different, whether or not we truly are going to stop accusing and blaming everybody else for our problems, especially spiritual problems, and excusing all the bad behavior in our life because of something else, where we can choose today to do something different. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 5, depending on your translation, there's this beautiful verse where each one of us is responsible for our own actions. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5. Each of us are responsible for our own actions, our own conduct. Now, we can sit in here on a Sunday morning and we can complain about our own life. And we can look at our own life and we can wish to be different. We could want to be different. We could want to do different things. We could want to be more faithfully following God. And we can look at all the reasons why our ship has not left the harbor. Or we can choose this morning to take full responsibility of our own conduct and our own actions and begin to do something different. Notice the second thing right here. Not only must we stop accusing and excusing, go ahead and be turning to Philippians chapter 4. We must surrender to Jesus. On a day like today, surrendering to Jesus is so important. And here's why it's important, is because today we get to do something different. You know, the hour that you normally give for Bible class and maybe an hour tonight or 45 minutes tonight for worship, we've asked you to take those hour or 2 hours and to take what you normally give us to sit and to study and to pray and to gather around each other. And we've said, you know what, let's take those 2 hours, and at least on this one Sunday, let's come together and worship like we always do, but then let's go do all the things that we know we should do. Let's get out of the harbor, let's get out of the boat, and let's go make a difference. Well, one of the things that we must do this morning is this idea of surrendering. If God is going to be able to use you and to use me, we must surrender ourselves to Him this morning. In fact, I want us to have a prayer of surrender over today, right now. Would you bow with me while we pray? Holy Father, we are in such awe of You this morning. Father, we live in awe of You, and and your creation and the wonderful things that you have made and that you have done. We're grateful for the air that you have breathed into us. And Father, we're grateful for the opportunity that you have presented before us as a church. And Father, it's my prayer this morning that every single one of us are ready to be emptied right now. That every single one of us right now are ready to surrender to you, to surrender our will, to surrender our opinions, to surrender our life, to surrender our rights, to surrender everything about ourselves to you. So that you, Father, might be able to come in right now into our life and to reign supreme. And as we leave here in just a few moments, Father, you might be able to move through us. That you, Father, will be glorified. That you, Father, will be honored. That you, Father, will be the reason that today is different. That you, Father, will be the reason that people see you living through us. Father, may we lose this idea of making room for you in our life. And Father, may we grab hold of the idea of just emptying everything out so that you have it all. Father, be with us this morning. Be with us this afternoon. And Father, may through it all, you, Father, be praised and honored and glorified. Father, let the church say this morning. Amen. Philippians chapter 4 is this beautiful passage, and we know it so well, but I want you to see it again this morning. Philippians chapter 4. I rejoice, beginning in verse 10, in the Lord greatly, that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, nor have I learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. This idea of being just utterly brought low, humble to the point of surrendering, what we just talked about. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. One of the hardest lessons to learn about life is that we cannot sail through life on our own power. It just will not work. We cannot sail through life, if you will, sitting in our own boat of our life and trying our best to blow as much hot air as we can to power our way through life. The only way that we make it through life is when we allow God who strengthens us through Christ. The only way that we make it out of the harbor, the only way that we make it out of the pew this morning, the only way that we make it out of bad habits this morning is through the power that God gives us through Christ. And the problem is, so many times in our life, we think we've got it figured out and we begin to accuse and blame and make excuses. It's time for us to choose this morning to surrender. And I want you to notice the third thing this morning, and that is this. Let's do something different. This morning, let's start right now. What if we started right now? We're about to leave here in just a few minutes. What if today was a day not only where we get to serve other people in the name of Jesus, but that God gets to see a different side of us? Where God gets to see us, where we understand exactly how he looks into our life, and we see the very same thing he sees this morning. And instead of making excuses for what he sees and the sin that we try to hide, and instead of trying to blame, well, you know what, it's because of this and it's because of all the different things that we do, we start right now and we do something different. We do something different. There's one of these sad verses in the Old Testament over in Genesis 43. Genesis 43 in verse 10. I remember reading this when I was in school, and it just blew my mind, and it still does today when you think about the context of what was going on. But I want you to listen to this verse. Genesis 43, beginning in verse, this is just verse 10. Let's pick up verse 8. And Judah said to Israel's father, "Send the boy with me, and we will arise and go that we may live and not die, both we and you also, our little ones. I will be a pledge of his safety from my hand, and you shall require him if I do not bring him back to you and set him before you. Then let me bear the blame forever." Notice verse 10. If we had not delayed, we would now have returned how many times, church? If we had not delayed, how many of us are living in a state of delay? How many of us are living in this state of waiting for something else to happen? There's another beautiful verse in the Old Testament. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done." You know, there's a great partnership. One of the best, I think, most famous partnerships in all the world was actually in a movie. It was between Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan. How many of y'all remember that movie? You remember the movie I'm talking about? You remember, you know what I'm talking about? Forrest Gump? From my home state, Loud and Proud. Not a big Alabama fan, but Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan. Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan formed an amazing partnership. And in fact, they came up with this idea that they were going to go out into the Gulf and they were going to fish for what? You probably have eaten at his restaurant up in Gatlinburg, haven't you? Bubba Gump shrimp, right? Well, and you remember in the movie, it was this amazing story. There was this storm, this hurricane that was coming up. And Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan decided to do what? When all the ships were coming into harbor, they were doing what? They were going out. They went out and they actually monopolized the shrimp business during that time, because when they came back into the harbor, what happened to all the ships that were in the harbor? They were destroyed. They were destroyed. There's far more death, depression, and destruction in delay than there is when we surrender our life to Jesus and we set sail and we get out of the boat and we begin walking with him. There's far more provision. There's far more peace. There's far more power in our life when we get out of the boat and when we follow Jesus than when we sit back in delay and we just blame and excuse and wonder and dream about all the things that could happen if this stuff wasn't going on. You know, I've often wondered, if Hendersonville was a ship, what kind of ship would it be? It's not going to be some dinghy. I mean, there's however many of us in here this morning. I don't see it being, a sailboat necessarily. For those of you that love boats, you can probably think of a lot of different kind of boats. It's not a battleship, I don't believe. You know, for me, the perfect ship for us would be an aircraft carrier. Think about that for a moment. The perfect ship, the perfect place for us to come and land, to be refueled, to be renewed, to be retooled, to be encouraged, to be patched up so that we can fly back out, so that we can set sail again for another week, so that we can go out and then we can be a part of something that is bigger than ourselves. The thing about ships are this, especially the ships that you go back and you read about, especially there in 1 Kings 22, those ships were made for deep water. Those ships were meant to be out on the ocean, on a journey, on a voyage, an exciting adventure. We too were created for deep waters. We were created to be on a voyage. We were created for this exciting journey of faithfully following after God. So I want to ask you something this morning. If you were to start now, what would you do different? What would you do different? When everybody else is running back into the harbor and looking for safety and shelter in their comfort zone of staying the same, are you ready to set voyage this morning on a journey to God, on a journey to eternal life? Are you ready to stop blaming and excusing and trying to find all the reasons why you can't? Now, I know what you're thinking. Drew, there's all these obstacles in my way. Do you know what obstacles are? Obstacles are opportunities for us to trust God. If we're waiting for perfect conditions, if you go back and look at Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4, they're never going to be there. In fact, if you're waiting for perfect conditions, what does that say about your faith? If everything has to be perfect and everything has to be easy for you to be a follower of Jesus, you will never follow. You will always be in the harbor and you will end up finding in that delay destruction. So whatever obstacle there is in front of you right now, and all of them are different, what if we viewed that obstacle as an opportunity this morning to trust God? And if you trusted him right now with whatever obstacle there is in front of your life, what would be different? You see, here's the beauty of what we're doing today. We are all sinners saved by God's grace, all of us. You know, when you think about the fact that God so loved the world, God loves sinners. That's why he loves us. The difference is that we have found the grace of God through the story of his son Jesus. And because of that, we have sanctified and set apart our life through the blood of Jesus. To live different, to worship different, to serve different, to walk like Jesus walked. And because of that, we get to go out and to love other people. And there are 1,000 reasons why every single one of us can find some reason for us not to do something different today. But here's the thing, you only have to follow one. And that is that Jesus loves you so much that he died for you. And all the things that Satan tries to sell you as reasons why you can't change, of reasons why you can't be different, of why your marriage can't be this, of why your career can't be that, of why church can't be this, of why we can't get outside of these walls and go into this community, those are all lies that Satan sells us. And we can find every reason in the world why we should stay in the harbor, but there's really only one reason that we have to focus on. God is good, is he not, church? He's so good that he loved me and that he loves you. In spite of the fact that you keep blaming and excusing and accusing, in spite of the fact that you look at every obstacle in front of you as some mountain that cannot be moved, in spite of all of that, God still loves you. What if we surrendered now? We started right now to do all the things that we know we should do. You know, we get to do something special here as we finish up this morning. We get to walk out of here hand in hand. We get to walk out of here hand in hand, going into a community to just simply say God loves you. But here's the thing, we've got to join hands in here first. We got to be willing to grab the person next to us and the person next to us and say, you know what, I love you. In spite of the hurt, in spite of the pain, in spite of the rejection, I love you because that's the way God loves me. But I also realize that sometimes there are things in our life that we need to express publicly. Where we want the church to know that we've struggled and we want to confess our sin and we want our family to pray for us. We want God to forgive us. I also think, what better way for a day to know what surrender looks like than for somebody who's ready, who knows that Jesus is the Son of God, who understands they're sinners and wants to confess that Jesus is the Son of God and repent and be baptized. Stop looking at all the reasons why you shouldn't make a change today. Stop looking at all the reasons why you shouldn't come and ask this church to pray for you. Stop looking for all the reasons why you shouldn't become a follower of Jesus today and just focus on God this morning. Focus on him and recognize that when we surrender to Him and we start now, we begin a journey that will never end. If you need to come, won't you do that while we stand and sing?